God bless you, and thank you for listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma. Today is the 6th day of January, 2010, and you're listening to our Wednesday evening broadcast. Our sermon tonight is from guest speaker Mr. Jason Christensen, missionary to Egypt. The entire congregation of Central Baptist Church joins me in saying to you, wherever you are in the world listening to our broadcast, Jesus loves you, and so do we. Thanks again for listening.
In 1950, there were 1,200 Korean Christians gathered together with some American evangelists and Korean pastors in Incheon, South Korea, in a church auditorium at 6 o'clock in the morning. They were gathered to pray for the revival meetings that were to begin that night. They had a problem, though. The church auditorium could not hold the thousands of people they were expecting that night. One of the American evangelists, Mr. Finley, suggested, why don't we meet outdoors? One of the Korean pastors explained, this is the middle of the rainy season. Once the rain begins, the rain will not let up for days. Another one of the Korean ministers suggested that there was a courtyard at the train station could hold thousands of people that they were expecting that night, only if it would not rain. Mr. Finley, he bowed his head and prayed silently, Lord, what would you have us to do? The Lord filled his heart with boldness and joy. He announced to everybody, God will hold back the rain clouds for the revival meetings. Another one of the American evangelists, Mr. Pierce, he announced to all the Korean Christians, go back to the city authorities at the train station, ask for permission to use the train station for the revival meetings. At 11 o'clock a.m., they gathered again in the church auditorium, but the rain had already begun. Mr. Pierce announced to all the Korean Christians, go back and tell everybody that you can that God's going to hold back the rain clouds and give us fair weather for the revival meetings. Well, there was another furious blast of rain as they closed the meeting that morning. Mr. Pierce and Mr. Finley got together at 12:30 p.m. that day, got in their hotel rooms, got on their knees and begged God for more faith. They said, Lord, you did it for, at the Sea of Galilee, and you did it for Elijah. We believe that you'll do this miracle for the glory of the name of Jesus Christ. If you'll turn with me to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, if you'll please stand. You glad you got a Bible here tonight? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. It's been estimated over 2,000 languages do not have a Bible in their language. Please pray for more laborers to translate the Bible into other languages so people can have it in their language. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for giving us a safe trip here tonight, Lord. And we thank you for family and friends and brothers and sisters in Christ that we can fellowship together with tonight. Father, we do thank you for this opportunity to worship you and give you all the praise, honor, and glory. And Father, we just thank you for your love letter to us. Father, we do want you to move in our service here tonight and speak to hearts and use me to be a vessel, to be a blessing to these people, Father. There may be somebody lost here tonight that needs to hear the gospel and just needs to call out to you to save them tonight. And Father, I pray that you use me to feed your sheep and feed your lambs. And Father, we trust that you'll bless this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. First, I want to see the problem. The multitudes have a big problem. Now, it's no problem to God. No problem is too big for God. But the multitudes have a big problem. We need to see this problem that they have. The multitudes, they fainted. And not just a physical fainting. Their souls are fainting. And Jesus can see that their souls are fainting. You see, everybody's made of body, soul, and spirit. Let me illustrate for you for a minute. Big circle, a body. Inside that body is a soul. Smaller circle. That soul spends eternity in heaven, or it spends eternity in the lake of fire. Now, God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He loves all and wants to save all. But the fact is, many will reject and reject His free gift of salvation. Inside that soul is a smaller circle, the spirit. Now, the spirit is either dead or it's alive. Now, you can see the problem here. If somebody's lost and they have a dead spirit, you can see that there's a void, an emptiness. I had this emptiness when I was a lost soul. My spirit was dead. And people can't explain why they have this emptiness. Don't even know that they have this emptiness. They're searching for something to fill that void. And so they're fainting because their religion offers no hope, offers no satisfaction for that emptiness inside the soul. God has placed desire in each and every person to worship something. Whether it's going to be the true and living God, or whether it's going to be Buddha or some other religion, it's going to be Islam, whatever the religion may be. It may be worshiping ourselves, it may be materialism. But somebody, they're going to worship something. You're going to worship something. So they're fainting. They're tired of the religion. Many Muslims realize that their religion offers no hope. They're searching for something else. They're searching for truth and that satisfaction, that peace with God. Isaiah 57:20 tells us, "There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. There is no peace." They're not going to know true peace with God until they know the Prince of Peace, until they know Him as their personal Savior. And so they fainted, and the multitudes were also scattered. They're wandering around aimlessly. Now, if you ask a lost soul if they're wandering around aimlessly, they say, "No, I have direction. I have goals in life." They may have ambitions and things. But as far as a direction on how to get to heaven, many don't have no idea how to get to heaven. Never heard the gospel. Never heard that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Jesus. It's been estimated 50 to 70% of the world's population has never heard the gospel one single time. And so many are just not even aware that they're lost. Now, some people are aware that they're lost. They'll tell you, "Yeah, I know I'm lost. I know that I need to be saved." But so many don't. Multitudes. God helps to lift our eyes up and see the multitudes. Jesus, He lifted up His eyes and saw the multitudes. They were fainted, scattered, and they had no shepherd. Can you imagine what it'd be like to go through your whole life without knowing Jesus as your Savior? How many here tonight have been saved a year or longer? How many have been saved 5 years or longer? 10, 20, 30, 40, 50. Can you imagine going your whole life without knowing Jesus as your good shepherd? I don't know how people make it. I mean, He meets all our temporal needs, our food, our clothing, our shelter. But not only that, He meets our eternal needs. He's the good shepherd. Leads and guides us. Think about the multitudes. When you're in a traffic jam, a big city like Tulsa or Oklahoma City, stuck in a traffic jam, or say you're at Walmart the day after Thanksgiving sale. Just packed with people. And if we're not careful, many times we'll get in the flesh, we'll be carnal, and we'll just think, "Man, they're just an inconvenience to me. They just need to get out of my way. I need to get some things done." And I fail at that too. I got a list of things I want to get done. We be productive and get things done. But we need to see them with compassion and see that we need to see people with souls. You know, there was a man that was in he was with D.L. Moody somewhere, and they were in some building. And D.L. Moody asked the man, and said, "I want you to look outside and see what you see." And the man looked outside and says, "I see people." And D.L. Moody said, "That's the difference. I see souls." He saw souls, and the other man, he just saw people. Do we see souls, or do we just see people? See, God, He sees each and every person, and you know, he sees that sinful nature, and yes, God is angry with the wicked every day. He sees that, but he sees much deeper. He sees into that soul and says, that's a precious soul, and that dead spirit I want to bring back to life. God sees souls. He doesn't just see the exterior. So we need to see the multitudes and the problem they have. And then we need to see the plan. I'm glad God's got a plan. Hallelujah. I'm glad He had a plan before the foundation of the world to save lost sinners that will repent and receive Jesus Christ by faith. God's plan was to send His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be born of a virgin, crucified on an old rugged cross, buried 3 days, and rose from the dead the third day to give eternal life freely. And part two of His plan was to send laborers to get this good news of the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Do you see the pattern here? He sent His only begotten Son, and now He wants to send laborers. God's in the sending business. He wants to send forth laborers. Look with me. I hope you're still there in Matthew chapter 9, verse 38. And when you have a problem, you know, the first thing I mentioned in my message here tonight is the problem. And when you have a problem, the best place to start is pray. It says, pray, therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that He will send forth laborers into His harvest. I'm so glad that I can pray according to His will, according to this verse. You know, when people have a situation, you may ask me to pray for a family member or a neighbor or a co-worker that has cancer or some sickness. And just to be honest with you, I don't know if it's God's will to heal that person right away or whether it's the next day or the next week or maybe taking that person to heaven by healing that way. But I'm glad I can pray according to His will when it's praying for laborers. He wants to send forth laborers and He wants us to pray for that. Why would He want us to pray for that if it wasn't His will to send forth laborers? You know, I think about Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8, Isaiah said, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me." I just get this vision of Isaiah being excited and wanting to be sent of the Lord. Not saying, here am I, send me. No, he wants to go. It's not a reluctant, but he wants to go. Here am I, send me. And I want you to get a picture of what happens before this verse in verse 8. In verse 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon the throne, high lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had 6 wings, and with twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the house was filled with smoke. And the post of the door was moved, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and laid upon my mouth, and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. You see, Isaiah, he sees the Lord high and lifted up. He sees Him as a thrice holy God. And no man can see God face to face, but Isaiah got a great glimpse of God and how holy He is. Then he realized he was a lost sinner. See, so many times you may witness to a lost sinner and ask them if they're lost. Ask them if they're saved. And they may say, well, yeah, I'm a sinner, but I'm not as bad as so-and-so. And they start comparing themselves with other people. That's too low of a standard. God's standard is perfection. God's not going to allow sin into heaven. He wants to wash those sins away to allow people into heaven. But God is so holy, if people will see Him holy, high and lifted up, then they'll say, woe is me, for I'm undone. That's why we need to be exalting the Lord, praising Him, talking about how great He is in our life. Then people will see themselves as lost sinners. And then, so then his sins were purged. And then what? Then he got to hear from the voice of the Lord. Aren't you glad when you get to hear from the voice of the Lord? That excites me. All that thrills my soul is Jesus. You know, that's what really thrills your soul is when you get to hear from the Lord. When you get to hear Him speak to your heart. Now, it's not an audible voice, but thank God He speaks to our souls. Speaks to our hearts. You know, as born-again Christians, we have to confess our sins daily so we can hear from the Lord. Otherwise, I'm just using an analogy, we get our ears stuffed with sin. And we can't hear from the Lord. He's calling for laborers to go out. But so many born-again Christians, we're doing our own thing, and the Great Commission is not our number one priority in our life. So we see the problem, we need to see the plan, then we need to see the power. Look with me in Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. And when he called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power. Thank God he gave them power. And not only did he give them power, he gives every born-again Christian the power of the Holy Ghost to indwell us. The almighty power of the Holy Ghost. Thank God. But you know, we can quench this power of the Holy Ghost in our life as born-again Christians by existing in disobedience to His commands, such as baptism, tithing, witnessing, and so many more, such as praying, praising Him. I could go on and on. But we quench His power by disobedience, not trusting Him, unbelief. But thank God He wants to lift us back up when we sin. You know, He doesn't want to kick us down while we're down. He wants to lift us up. If we'll confess our sins. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 tells us one of the biggest reasons He gives us the power of the Holy Ghost. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth. He's given us this power for this huge responsibility we have in the Great Commission, making disciples of all nations. It's a huge responsibility. There's no way we could do it of our own strength. There are certain things we can do of our own strength. But to make an eternal difference in the souls of people, it's going to take the power of the Holy Ghost in our life. It's only by the power of God when He draws people to Himself and reveals the Scriptures of the Gospel to them. So we must have this power of the Holy Ghost to complete the Great Commission. If you're born again here tonight, surely you have some desire inside of you to be pleasing to your Heavenly Father. Now I understand we have a sinful nature, it battles. But there's been some desire. If you have no desire to please Him, if you have no desire, it may be that you have sin in your life, you just need to confess, or it may be that you've just never been born again. You've never realized you were a lost sinner and needed to ask God to forgive your sin. Call out to Him to save you. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He wants to save you tonight if you're lost. But we should desire to be pleasing to Him. You know, when you get to heaven, don't you want to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? You do, don't you? Yes. As born-again Christians, you want to hear that. Often, many people will ask or tell us, you're going to need the power of the Holy Ghost. You're going to need the power of God in your life in Egypt. And that's true. I'm going to need the power of God in my life, in our family's life. But not only me, each and every born-again Christian needs the power of God. Your pastor needs the power of God. Your family needs the power of God. Your church needs the power of God. Our country needs the power of God in our life. There's three things that I believe we need to have the power of God. Now, this is not a formula. God is sovereign. He shows His power anytime He wants to. In spite of us, He shows His power. He's not a genie. He is sovereign. Does whatever he wants to, whenever he wants to. Three things. We must be willing and wanting. We must be weak. And we must be worshiping if we want to see the power of God in our life. We must be willing and wanting to be used of God. You know, I think about Jacob and Esau. You know, Esau, he despised his birthright. Didn't even want the birthright. And Jacob, he wanted that birthright. And even though he wanted to get it deceptively, he desired it. At least he desired a good thing there. He desired the blessings of God. And we should desire the blessings of God. We really want to see the blessings of God. We need to desire the power of God in our life. And we see the power of God not only in just the big things, but we can see the power of God in little things, in answer to prayers, to what we may call small answer to prayers. And so we must be willing and wanting. We must be weak. We must admit that we're weak. And Paul said, and he said unto me, talking about God, my grace is sufficient for thee, Paul, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul learns from this and says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Paul realizes, you know, that's when God gets to show his power, is when he has an infirmity, when he has a weakness, when he has a problem, when I have a problem, I get to say, wow, I'm looking forward to seeing what God's going to do now. I'm one of his children, and he loves me. And I'm looking forward to how he's going to provide for this situation, this circumstance. So next time you have a problem, you may have a problem right now, just praise the Lord for it. Say, Lord, I'm looking forward to what you're going to do. I know it's not always easy. It's easier said than done, isn't it? But try to remember that and just to praise the Lord no matter what. Then we must be worshiping. There's many examples I could give through the Bible how people saw the power of God just after they worshiped. But just a couple. Abraham saw the power of God on Mount Moriah as God showed his power in providing a sacrifice. As Abraham was getting ready to sacrifice his son, Isaac, God shows his power. And what happened just before God showed his power? Abraham said to his young men, he said, I and the lad will go yonder and worship. See, Abraham, he's in an attitude, I'm getting ready to go worship. How many times do we come to church and we're in an attitude, I get to go worship, or I got to go to worship. I get to go worship. I get to go worship my great God. And also Joshua, when he was getting ready to go to Jericho, when we hear the story of how the walls of Jericho came crumbling down, what happened just before that? Joshua worshiped. Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship. And so many other examples how God worked in people's lives after they worshiped. So we need to come to church, worship in spirit and truth, to get excited about what God's going to do. Well, getting back to our story in Incheon, South Korea, about 2 hours after Brother Pierce and Brother Finley began praying in their hotel room for the revival meetings in Incheon, South Korea, a wind arose. At 3 o'clock p.m., the skies were almost completely clear. 15,000 people came to the train station courtyard the first night to see these American Christians who dared to promise that God would perform a miracle. They heard them preaching. They heard the preaching of the gospel. Many Buddhist Koreans became Christians that night. Hallelujah. They had revival meetings each night for a week, and it never rained during the meetings. On the final night, 20,000 people came. Hundreds had made their decision to follow Christ. A few days later, the communists in North Korea swept in the city for a bloody surprise attack. Thousands of people were brutally killed, and the city was in ruins. For many Koreans, that week of revival meetings was their last opportunity to hear the gospel. Hundreds of people who were killed by the communists went to heaven because they had been saved at those meetings when God held back the rain. The reason I use that story is because There was a problem. Lost multitudes need to hear the gospel. And thank God there was Christians that recognized God's plan was to pray. To pray. Pray for God's power. And then they got to see God's power holding back the rain clouds and drawing thousands of souls to Himself. Let's all stand. We'll bow and give this time an invitation. Don't you want to see the power of God in your life? Don't you want to see the power of God in your family and in your community here in Ponca City? Don't you want to see the power of God? Do you see the problem? Maybe you'd like to pray that you'd Lord, help me to see this problem. Help me to lift up my eyes and see the multitudes with compassion like you saw them with compassion. Maybe you'd like to be part of God's plan tonight and pray for laborers. Pray for laborers to reach lost souls with the gospel. Won't you come and pray for God's power in your life?
You have been listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma, with guest speaker Jason Christensen, missionary to Egypt. If you ever find yourself in Ponca City, we invite you to stop by and visit us. We are just 1 mile north of Ponca City at the intersection of Highway 77 and Coleman Road. Give us a chance to get to know you. But until that time, God bless you, have a great week, and thanks again for listening.